Always a good way to begin is good morning. If we are in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. And citizenship is very important. Ever try to travel out of the country? You must have your passport. It proves your citizenship. And I know none of us want to suffer the fate that Philip Nolan suffered in the classic A Man Without a Country. Most of you are probably familiar with that. It was because he cursed his country, United States of America. He cursed it that he was sentenced to live aboard a ship and never ever again return to his native land. Not even hear a newscast about it or hear the name of the United States of America ever again. For 56 years, he lived on a ship, to another ship, to another ship, traveling to a sea, to a sea, to an ocean, and never again touched land, till he died, and they buried him at sea. But us Christians, our name is written in the book of life. That's our passport to our heavenly country. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. When we confess Jesus Christ here on earth, he promises he will confess our name before the Father in heaven. And so our name, your name, my name, everyone that's accepted Christ is written down in heaven where it stands forever and ever. Now, how can I say that? Well, I believe God's word. It's truth. And God's word says, written, that word, in Luke 10, the Greek translation is in the perfect tense, written. And that means it's once and for all, forever stands written down. So I believe it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to finish up chapter 3 today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the whole chapter, and then we'll go over it. Brethren, verse 17 through 21. Join in following my example, Paul says. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And he says, many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, when I read that, I found it kind of strange that here we have the great apostle Paul, who's filled with such joy, which we just read about last week, and now he's crying. He's weeping. Was he crying over himself and maybe the difficult situation that he was in? No. He was a man with the single mind. We know that. And circumstances never discouraged him. He just kept going on. So maybe he was weeping over some event or something that the Roman Christians did to him. No, I don't think so, because he had the submissive mind, and we went over that too. He would not permit people to rob him of his joy. The tears weren't for himself, not at all. He was shedding tears for others. He had the spiritual mind, which we saw last week. He was heartbroken over the way that these professing Christians were living. They were holding on to the earthly rituals and holding on to the beliefs that God had given Israel. And they were opposing the heavenly blessings that Christians have in Jesus Christ. These people were not spiritually minded that he was crying over. They were earthly minded. Now, I know spiritually minded has suffered a lot of abuse and ridicule, especially in current stage. A lot of people think a spiritual Christian is mystical and a little bit crazy. And when that spiritual person prays, he changes his tone of voice and he waves his hand and he wiggles his head. And No. It's nothing like that. It's contrary to that. You ever been to one of these psychic fairs? That I made the mistake when I first got here. I thought it was a spiritual thing. No. No. You got these people walking around. And they got crystals and they got, well, tarot cards and everything. And they're hovering over you with their own energy. Not energy from the Holy Spirit. To be spiritually minded very simply means look at earth from heaven's point of view. We have a dual citizenship. On earth, we have a citizenship. And in heaven, we have a citizenship. And because we have a heavenly citizenship, that should make us a whole lot better people here on earth. Because a spiritually minded person is not attracted to the things of the world. You remember Lot? He had to make a choice. And he chose the well-watered plains of Jordan because his values were worldly. And he tied into the city of Sodom. And if you've read the story, he ultimately lost everything. Whereas Moses, who had everything in Egypt, refused it and gave it all up for something more wonderful to live for. Scripture says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8, verse 36. And so the Christian speaks heaven's language. Those who mind earthly things talk about earthly things. After all, what comes out of a mouth reveals what's in his heart. And the unsaved person does not understand the things of God because they're of the world. But Christians are of God. Now remember, speaking heaven's language not only involves what we say, it involves the way we say it. spiritually minded Christians don't go around all day long quoting Bible verses and that's it, nothing else. They're careful to speak in a manner that glorifies God. And what does the Bible say about this? Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." In Philippi, the citizens were governed by Roman law, not Greek law. Even though they were hundreds of miles away from Rome, Christians, we're more than hundreds of miles away from heaven, but we're governed by heaven's laws, even though we live here on earth. We're concerned about others. We're interested in giving, not getting. Our motive is love, not hate. And by faith, Christians obey the word of God, knowing that one day they're going to receive the reward. What I find sad is that there are those today, very much like the Judaizers in Paul's day, who profess to be Christians. They profess to be citizens of heaven, but their lives don't reflect it. Oh, yeah, they may be zealous in the religious rituals. They may even be strict in disciplines in their life. But there's no evidence of the control of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because everything they do is energized by their own flesh. And then they get all the glory. Look what I did. Just like Nebuchadnezzar said. Those are the people Paul is weeping for. Now, the cross of Christ was mentioned, and that's the theme of the Bible everywhere. It's the heart of the gospel. Because the cross is the proof of God's love for this world and his hatred of sin. Because the cross condemns what the world values. And these citizens of the world were enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul wept for them because he knew the future of these men. Verse 19 says their future is destruction. Now, I have to admit, sometimes I don't think of my unsaved friend's destiny as actually heading to be destruction. But that's what Scripture tells us. And so I looked up destruction. And the word carries the idea of waste. Or, I'll invent a word, lostness. Judas. He was called the son of perdition. That word, perdition, in John 17:12. Same word. Destruction. Waste. A wasted life. A wasted eternity of waste. And if that is the destiny of my unsaved friends, I must weep for them. In contrast, now we have the true child of God. The citizen of heaven has a bright future. We're looking forward to seeing our heaven's Lord. We live in the future tense, anticipating the return of our Savior. And it is this anticipation of the coming of Christ that motivates the believer with the spiritual mind. There's just a tremendous amount of energy in the present power of a future hope. One of the most devastating feelings of a human being is loss of hope. No hope whatsoever. It'll destroy you. Now, Abraham, it says Abraham looked for a city whose foundation and builder was God. And with that, he was content to live in a tent here on this earth. And because Moses looked for the rewards of heaven, he was willing to forsake all the treasures of Egypt. And Scripture says, because of the joy that was set before him, Jesus was willing to endure the cross. So the fact that Jesus is coming back, he is returning, what a powerful motive that would be to live a dedicated life. The citizen of heaven living on earth is never discouraged. How can you be discouraged when you know that one day the Lord is coming back for you? He's coming back for you. And so the Christian keeps on faithfully doing his job. Otherwise, he doesn't want to get caught with the Lord coming back and find himself lazy and disobedient. And there's a whole bunch of reading on that in Luke 12, verse 40. The spiritual-minded believer does not live for the things of this world because he anticipates the blessing of the world to come. And what can be better than the blessings of the world to come that's down here on this earth? Now, it does not mean we completely ignore or neglect our daily obligations or duties. What it means is what we do today is governed by what Christ will do in the future. And so we obey him. Now, I read Paul said that the believer is going to get a glorified body, just like the body of Christ. So we live in a body of humiliation right now. And that's the translation, the meaning of the word lowly. Paul used lowly. Well, that means humility. And when we see Christ, what does Scripture say? We're going to be like him. We're going to receive the glorious body that Jesus has. We're going to get. And it's going to happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. So fast that you can't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior if you haven't yet. Because it will happen that fast. And then in that second, or half a second, or millisecond, all the wonders of this world will be worthless to us. Just like they should be today. Now, relatively speaking, I'm going to say, what that means is that we're living in the future tense. And we will be exercising the spiritual mind and we'll be living for things that really matter. Paul, who suffered a lot, lived for things that really matter. We will be transformed from our lowly bodies, 21, and be conformed to his, Jesus, glorious body. Because he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That is our blessed hope that we long for and that we look for and that we want all our family and friends to have. How can you convince someone that doesn't have it that they need it? You have it, and they don't. And so that's why Paul's crying for them. He's trying to convince them that they're on the wrong road. They're not listening. He even said he would be willing to go to hell if they could be saved. Do we have that kind of feeling for our unsaved friends, family members? That we would give up our eternity with Christ so that they could have it? That takes a lot of grace from our Lord. But it's free. They can have it just like we do. You don't have to give it up. Just share it with them. And that way you both have it. I've been trying to get my neighbor to get here. And he keeps saying he's going to come, but he doesn't. And I don't know what I have to do other than drag him here. But he's a good man. I don't want to see him lost. So I cry for him. Lord, there's so many people out here in the world that don't know you, and we're called to witness and share the gospel with them. And I will talk about my friend, Lord, my neighbor, that you would provide me with the words that he needs to hear, and that he would listen and heed and come to know you. That everybody that hears your gospel would come to salvation, Lord. Give all of us not only the courage, but the words and the wisdom to share the good news with whoever it is that you bring before us. When we are weak, you are strong, Lord. You use the weak so that you get the glory. And so may you end up saving all the world before destruction comes upon them. Put a blessing on the snacks, the fellowship. We thank you for the music this morning, Lord, and was provided 2 years ago for this very day. Bring your healing hand upon those that we prayed for earlier and bring them to a full recovery. And whatever it is you want us to do, Lord, tell us, strengthen us, and we'll obey. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.